How many can say amen to that this morning? Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Sure nice to be back together again. Blessed be his wonderful name. I'd like to read from, to start out with this morning, I'd like to read from Job, the 19th chapter, and we'll read verses 23 through 27. Job chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. Now, just as a reminder, this is the oldest book in the Bible. He's not the oldest, furthest one back that lived. It's just this is the first book that was written. Oh, that my words were not written, were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. They will be. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Kind of like engraving, right? Stamping it into that rock, not just carving it into it, but putting lead in there to something that's more permanent. For I know. Somebody say, I know.
I know.
Not I hope. I've been told. Somebody said. For I know.
Amen.
That my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
And he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I know that. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Now that word reins, the literal meaning of it is organs, though my organs be consumed within me. The figurative meaning of the word reigns is the seat of emotion and affection. Either way, his spirit will depart from his body, his organs will decay, and yet he says, by faith, by revelation, I know.
Amen.
I know my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and I will see him for myself. With my own eyes. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We like to title the thought this morning, In My Flesh I'll See God. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come before you as a body, it's, Lord, with praise on our lips once again and thanksgiving in our hearts. And Lord, we've made our requests known and we're confident, Lord, that you've heard our prayers. You instructed us to make our requests known and then, Lord, that you would fulfill those desires and those requests. Father, we thank you for this fine spring morning. We see the seasons changing, and we're reminded once again, Lord, of as we see the flowers blooming and the plants coming back to life, we're reminded, Lord, that there'll be a time when there'll be no more fall, there'll be no more winter, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more sorrow, Lord, but while we're still going through these changing seasons, we see, Lord, that when springtime rolls around, it's another testimony, another testament that there'll be another spring, that there'll be a resurrection, that this isn't the end of things, and Father, that life eternal is not something that was told to us as a fable or some type of a little story, but it's the truth. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again to come together and to fellowship around your word. We ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one amongst us, Lord, and those that are listening in. And, Father, we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. We ask that you'd forgive us for our shortcomings, Lord, as we plead the blood this morning. In the lovely name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I'd like to read from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, a couple of verses before we launch off into our thought this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, very familiar scripture. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Remember that Abel offered the blood of an innocent lamb, and Cain offered beautiful fruits and flowers, perhaps, petunias, what have you. And Cain's offering was, here's what I did, Lord, and I bring it to you, take it or leave it. We know that Abel, it was revealed to him, so by faith, it was revealed to him that blood was what was required, and so innocent blood, and so he offered that blood of the lamb that was his sacrifice, and God showed that he had respect unto his sacrifice, because he came down in the pillar of fire and consumed the sacrifice. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God coming down and consuming the sacrifice. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So Abel, we know that Abel, his brother Cain, slew him. We know that Abel died, but his blood still cried out, testifying, still speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, a type of the resurrection or type of the rapture of the church. He did not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many believes that? Amen. So the word faith there, it's belief, it's assurance, it's fidelity. And that word fidelity is the quality of being faithful or loyal to someone or to something, often referring to loyalty in relationships or adherence to obligations. It can also describe the accuracy with which a copy reproduces its source, such as an audio or visual recording. Well, that very faith is the faith of God, and it's reproduced in the human heart, because that all faith comes from God. Amen. From the message, the rapture, I'd like to just read a short quote this morning. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation. It is a making known, because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you, like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. So faith reveals to you, faith revealed to him that he was going to be the father of many nations, and yet he and his wife couldn't have children, but faith revealed that to him. And despite his circumstances, despite the fact that he kept getting older, his wife kept getting older, his faith declared, I'm going to have that child. And it's going to come through my wife, Sarah. Like it was to Abraham, could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. Now, faith, that's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the whole entire body. And we've been going through this series now for a few services. We know that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And of course, what he was speaking of is his church will be built upon revelation, or him revealing his word to his church. So we realize that the secret catching away, as the scripture calls it, of the New Testament church, we know that it's prophesied to take place at the end of the Gentile ages. We know that seven ages were allotted to the Gentiles when the gospel turned from the Jew. When the Jews rejected the gospel, it turned to the Gentiles. And God has been dealing with the Gentiles for seven church ages now. But then there'll come a time when he no longer deals with the Gentile, and he'll turn back to the remnant, 144,000, to Israel, to the Jews. So we know that we are living in the seventh and final age for the Gentiles, and we also can clearly see by the word that the end of the age of the seventh age is upon us, because the message for each age comes at the end of the age. And the conditions that are spoken of in the prophetic visions of the prophets in the New Testament, they are being fulfilled right before your eyes. The things that Jesus told us to look for that were signs of the end are at hand. He said, when you see the fig tree give forth its fruit, and the fig tree represents Israel, and we see Israel becoming a nation, and all the other trees, and we see all these other nations coming together since the First World War and after. So, and many other prophecies, of course. So the prophet saw in the visions that there would be a rejection of the word of God, and that the Spirit of the Lord would eventually begin to lift from the people, the Gentiles. The Spirit of God will not always strive with man, but it was man that would be rejecting God, putting him outside of his own church, and not God rejecting man. So God would then call an end to redemption and an end to salvation for the Gentiles, because at that time the last one has come into the kingdom, and the door to the kingdom will be shut. Let him that's filthy remain filthy. Let him that's clean remain clean. For those that are outside of the kingdom, of course, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and a 3.5 year period of purging. But for those that are alive and are sealed and are hidden in the Holy Ghost or hidden in Christ Jesus, they will see the dead in Christ rise, and they will take up new bodies, and then they too will be changed. They'll have bodies like those that take up new bodies, and they will speak, and nature will obey, and they will discern the two spirits that and resist that Antichrist spirit, and he will be absolutely thwarted in their midst, and they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and the clouds, and go to the great wedding supper of the Lamb. And the gospel will then turn to the remnant of the Jews in Israel, led by her two prophets. And we've been told ahead of time what's going to take place in our age. We read that in the Word. Just as the elect of every age has been told what will take place in the day that they are living. And when God tells us what is in our future, we call that prophecy. It's something that is going to happen that hasn't happened yet, but when it happens, it'll happen exactly as he said that it would happen. And until the prophecy is revealed to the church, it's a mystery. It's a secret. Many times it's written in symbol form, so only the one that wrote it knows what the meaning is, the understanding of it is. So it's a mystery, it's a secret, which God has chosen at the right time to make known unto his church. Now, he doesn't make it a secret and a mystery because he's trying to hold anything back from the church. He does that because, as we read in Matthew chapter 13, he doesn't reveal his secrets to everyone. Right. He does to his children, and if he were to reveal his secrets ahead of time, it would do great damage. Or Satan would do great damage. So God stores up that revelation, stores up that word, and in due season quickens it, brings the revelation, and then brings the manifestation of it, which ends up being the interpretation of it. So until the prophecy is revealed to the church, it's a mystery, it's a secret. And this mystery, when it unfolds in three parts. How many knows that? First, God makes it known to us through his chosen vessel, which we know is his mouthpiece, his seer, his prophet. That's all describing the same ministry that God uses, someone that from birth is equipped to see these visions or dreams and for God to bring the interpretation to them and through them. The second part of the unfolding of a mystery is God reveals to you, the hearer, by faith what the mystery is, and that the revealing of it is for you. Amen? Not just for anyone, it's for you. It may be for anyone, but it's for you. and that it's about you. And that the revealing of it is for you. That it's time released for you. Are you with me? And then the third part, the fullness of the mystery is made known when it comes to pass. That is the final unveiling or revealing of the prophecy, like when the day of Pentecost came and Peter preached that sermon and they were smitten in their hearts and they said, what must we do? And he told them, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Prior to that, when they saw what was taking place, when they saw, people speaking to them and they're understanding them in their own language. They're asking questions. They're saying, what is this? And Peter said, this is that. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is that. That is what's being manifested. So you want to know what the interpretation of Joel chapter 2 was? Well, this is that. This is, right? So when the word... That's the third part of an unfolding of a mystery is God interprets his word when he brings it to pass. So so when Jesus spoke to Nathanael, who was told, come and see if this is the Messiah or not, Jesus told him, when he approached, Jesus told him who he was and that he had seen him in a vision beforehand. And he described to him where it was that he had been standing and what kind of a tree that he was under. And that is a prophecy, right? The prophecy spoke of Nathanael, and Nathanael believed that Jesus was the Messiah because the prophecy described Nathanael and what had taken place with Nathanael. So in this case, it's something that happened in the past, but it's still prophecy. Right? Whether it's past, present, or in the future. And because of that, Jesus told him that since I've done this, I've showed you that sign, and you believe, you're going to see more things. You're going to see a lot of other things, right? You're even going to see the angels ascending and descending, right? So we often use the word faith and the word revelation interchangeably. And this is because faith is the unveiling or the revealing of something to you personally. Faith then is a knowing, but it's not a mental knowing. It's something down on the inside and until and unless you've experienced it, you don't know what we're talking about. And we all start out thinking that faith is believing something with your mind. We think that because that's all we know for in the early part of our lives. So faith then is something different. Faith is a knowing. It's an I know so. Right. And there's a rest and there's a peace that comes with it. And you're no longer probing at something. You're no longer trying something. You're no longer guessing at something. You're no longer pushing. But you see it and you know that it's true. That it's settled, no matter what. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what happens, no matter what you see, no matter what somebody else tells you, no matter whether somebody tells you it's possible or not. So God has entirely written his plan that mankind is then living out over the ages, and he has chosen to unfold it in a certain way. And of course, he foresaw every single detail before time and space ever began. And he allows his prophets to see portions of the unfolding of his plan in time. And those are called visions or dreams. When they're interpreted, that is also prophecy. And those visions, they never fail. Amen. And you can't give yourself a vision. Right. Amen. Right. God set things up in his great plan in such a way that only his children can truly see what will take place beforehand. In other words, the visions are only made known to his children, though others can hear the exact same words, can sit in the exact same service. They can hear the same words that are spoken to describe the visions and still not understand, still not know what's being said or what's being brought to the children of God. So his children are told that they will walk, what it is that they will walk in for the day that they live in. They are told that. That is what we call the message of the hour, and it's been the message of the hour in each hour. And they can actually see themselves beforehand in the vision. Now, I'm not saying that you're actually seeing a vision and, you know, you've got pictorials and all that, but what the vision is describing, you recognize it's speaking of you. You recognize I'm, you know, those that are alive and remain, they'll realize I'm the those. I'm one of them, right? Behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn your heart. You'll recognize I'm the one he's speaking to, right? Because that's the word for your day that's going to unfold in your day. So they see the unfolding of the particular scenes that God will, that God allows them to see at a particular moment in time. And the scenes they are shown are exactly what unfold in time. And he may or may not then reveal the interpretation of that particular scene to his prophets, but they are instructed to record the vision so that the prophecy can be read by those that are living in the day that is unfolding. But when the time of the promise draws near, God then releases the faith to the children who will later become the manifestation of that word or the manifestation of that promise or the manifestation of that prophecy. It's all the same thing. And they walk by faith into that scene of the vision, and they become written epistles read of all men. They become the living word, the word on display that is read of all men. So they are literally the prophecy made flesh, the word made flesh. They are the unveiling of God for their day. Oh, that one is a stumbler, isn't it? But it's God's word that's being unveiled, isn't it? But in order for a child of God to walk in his word, they must first have faith in the word for their day. Now, I don't want to lose you this morning. We're trying to build a little bit of a foundation before we get to our the place that we want to get to and get to our climax. But it's so important that you see the mechanics of the kingdom of God. Because these are spiritual laws, and just as we looked at last week, natural laws, they don't care whether you believe or not. Natural laws are consistent, natural laws, you can count on them. Well, the same thing's true with God's spiritual laws, except God's spiritual laws, so God's natural laws require faith, but God's the one that believed. God spoke, put all these things into motion, and he believes. Right? So whether or not you believe, his laws are still true, because he believes. But when it comes to these spiritual laws, now the believing part is in the body. It's still the faith of God, but that very same faith is now in the body. His word is declared in heaven, and you say, be it unto me on earth as it is in heaven. So in order to walk in his word, we must first have faith in the word for our day. And it's really simple, friends. It isn't complicated. In order to fulfill the word for our day, in order to please God, we must have faith in the word of God, faith in the prophecy for our day. Amen. Amen. And we cannot please God, and the word cannot be fulfilled in our lives until the word is first revealed to us. And we can't reveal it to ourselves. Right? Flesh and blood can't reveal it to us. It is the Spirit of the Lord that speaks to us and reveals it to us in our soul. It's true. We need to hear the word. The word has to be preached. Right? But it's the Spirit in you that reveals it to you. So, before anybody starts to worry this morning about whether they'll catch the vision for their day or not, we must also recognize another great principle of God, as long as we're looking at the mechanics this morning. Amos chapter 3, verse 7, another familiar scripture to those of us living in this last day. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. Somebody say nothing. But he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. So if God's going to do anything, if there's going to be a rapture, God has to reveal it to his prophets. If there's going to be if he's going to flood the earth, he has to reveal it to his prophets. If there's going to be a rapture, he has to reveal it to his prophets. If there's going to be a tribulation period, he has to reveal it to his prophets. Whatever it is, if Christ is going to come on the earth, he has to reveal it to his prophets. So God's plan is a secret, we know, in the sense that he doesn't reveal to everybody his plan. But he does not intend for his plan to be a secret to his children that live out the unfolding of his plan. He always personally reveals his plan to his children in every age. It's not just for some. Amen? And it's not for the smarty pants. Amen? It's such that a fool would not err therein. It's for the those that are childlike, that are willing to believe, that will accept and believe and don't need physical evidence. He chooses what to reveal to them, and he chooses when the best time is to reveal it to them. And when he does, it's spiritual food to his children in due season. He knows what it is that we have need of and when we have need of it. And so that's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to assemble ourselves together for the hearing of the word. Because faith only comes one way. Faith comes through the hearing of the word, and it is imparted with that living word. As that living word goes forth, faith goes forth along with it. Amen. And we never know when he will choose to reveal his word to us. And so we remain totally dependent on him for our daily bread. And we don't want to miss the meals. Because that might have been a pretty important meal for us. So we must first feed on the word, of course, as it goes forth. And then, you know, we know that God always has a ministry on the earth that he uses to serve this hidden manna for the day that his children are living in. And that manna will not be something that's outside of his word, but it will be the portion of the word for their day. The manna is served by the preaching of the word. And those that hear the word are spiritually taking into their being that word. They are spiritually feeding on it. And the Holy Spirit that's living in the soul gives the faith, the unveiling of the word to the individual. And we call it a knowing. A knowing just drops into the soul. Amen. Right? And there's a peace that comes. It's settled. And you don't know where it even came from. Well, you know where it came from. It came from him, but you can't point to it. Right? You can't say, well, it came from this box or it came from that vessel. It came from him. So the individual then becomes the living prophecy. You are what you eat. Amen? So, and they know that they are the prophecy that's being made flesh. Now just stay with me. Still building a little foundation here. These are mechanics, but it's important that we know these things. It's important that we see that these are laws. spiritual laws. And sometimes the knowing or the revealing, it doesn't take place at the same time as the hearing of the word as it goes forth. As we looked at last service, the service before that, that there's a hearing and there's a seeing. You hear first, but then faith comes, and then there's a seeing.
Amen.
Amen. So the hearing of the word, we'll receive it. We're not fighting it. We're accepting it. But the faith, maybe the revelation of it hasn't struck us yet, right? So in the meantime, the believer confesses that it's true,
yeah.
Right? And a battle will start with other thoughts that try to come in and try to get you to deny that word. You know, for instance, I'm unworthy. Well, if you've confessed your sins, that's a lie. And if you believe that, well, you're disbelieving that word. Because the word said, he's made you righteous. Right? For instance, the word tells you that by his stripes you're healed. Is that true? You're not going to be healed. By his stripes, you are healed. And the word tells you, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right? Does the word say that?
Yes.
And if two or more of you agree concerning anything, you can have it. Is that right?
Yes.
Or call the elders if there be any sick or afflicted among you. Call the elders and have them anoint you with oil and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Is that the truth? Right. So step one is to accept the word, accept that promise, accept what it is that he had said, right? And hold on to it, and to confess it, and to cast down anything that denies it or exalts itself above the word of God. Any doubt, any question, any remembrance of, I tried that before. Any imagination, it'll work for somebody but not for me. Any feeling, I'm inadequate or God doesn't love me. Those are all just things that are coming to war against your promise. Your job is to hold on to that and confess it. Amen? And hold on to it and confess it. And hold on to it and confess it. And we all know that there are battles that come when you hold on to God's word.
Right.
Amen? So that's step one. We believe in going to doctors and that your faith that that God will use a doctor to be a help to you. We know that that's rewarded. We know that, that's one way that your healing can come, but only God can heal. The doctor will remove something, perhaps, but the healing's got to take place, right? Only God can do that. And so we know that they do things that then allow your healing that comes from God to take place in your body. So this isn't a statement. Once again, we're not speaking of, against going to a doctor, right? But, so that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But when we need healing and we ask for hands to be laid on us or to be anointed with oil or for the minister to agree with us concerning our promise, we need to know that the faith can drop down into your heart right away. You can walk up there with that faith, or that faith can come as we're agreeing together, right? Or that faith can drop down when you go home. You're confessing it, you're thanking him for it, but the revelation hasn't struck you yet. You don't know that it's finished, but you're believing the word. You're believing what you're doing, what you know to do. You're confessing that word, you're holding on to it. Or it can take place next week, or it can take place next month, or it could take place 10 years later, right? I'm talking about that faith dropping down where you can say, I know it's finished. Without physical proof. Right? And of course, the physical manifestation will come. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we repeat it to ourselves. It comes out of our mouth. It goes back into our ears. And it just And when others, when we're challenged externally from things that others say, like Job's accusers and so on and so forth, we continue to make that our confession, and that faith will find its resting place on that word that you're holding on to.
Right.
But you've got to hold on to that word.
Right.
Faith has to have a resting place.
Right.
And the only resting place for faith is on the word.
Right.
So if the word is come and go and up and down and in and out, there's no way for faith to get anchored.
Right.
Are you still with me?
Amen.
These are fundamentals that have to be clear to us. But again, this is not meant to make anybody uncomfortable. This is instruction. It's lessons, right? To ask for prayer and then to immediately run off to a doctor after the prayer, that actually hurts your faith, because faith's battle is lost right then. In fact, faith's battle never even got a chance to start, right? Now, it would be different if you fully intend to go to the doctor anyway, and you're praying that for the faith, and that when you go to the doctor, that that's going to be settled. Okay, fine. But if you're asking, you know, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and you're just going to try that, and if it doesn't work in 5 minutes, you run off to the doctor, that hurts your faith. It's usually because we aren't taught right. But we think that we know what we're doing. And the hardest part is to get it across to people that have been Christians a good part of their lives. You can be taught... I was taught wrong for the first 28 years of my life, right? And yet we went to church as much, if not more, than anybody else, right? But to come to the recognition that, okay, these things aren't happening in my life because I wasn't taught right. Well, go ahead and get quiet. I'll preach to the rest of you. It's usually because we're coming up for prayer to see what might happen.
Right?
And maybe we're looking to see a miracle, and we don't know the difference between miracle and healing. In my opinion, miracles are sovereign, right? It's not, well, if I believe hard enough, or if brother so-and-so this or that. Miracles are sovereign. God decides when to do a miracle, when not to do a miracle, right? Healing is a process.
Right.
Healing takes time. Healing, there's a battle that takes place while healing's taking place, because the symptoms may still be there, right? But you're believing that you're going to be well.
Amen.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, what, maybe we're looking for a miracle, we don't see one, and so we immediately run off to a doctor. Now, once again, I preface this by saying I'm not speaking against going to a doctor. If you go to a doctor, do what they told you to do.
Amen.
Right? But what I'm saying is, if you're coming up for prayer, hoping that you're going to be healed, and it doesn't happen in 5 minutes, and you run off to a doctor, that's because you didn't approach it right. You didn't even give it a chance. Right? You're hoping that something will happen. Well, hope's not a plan. And God doesn't fulfill His word off of hope. So, let me ask you this. What doctor will we run to for the body change when we see other people's bodies being changed? Well, come lay hands on me. It ain't going to happen that way. It'll happen by your faith. Right? And that faith will have been exercised prior to the body change. So if you say, I've never experienced divine healing, well, I'm sure you've been sick. I've had people tell me that. I remember my wife's grandfather. He was in his 80s. He said he'd never been sick in his life. And I'm thinking, you're not human, right? And he talked about how he'd get a cut and he'd lick his wound. And, you know, it sounded like he was talking about a dog, you know. His saliva would kill the germ and whatever. Every one of us is going to have an opportunity for divine healing. And God will use those opportunities to cause your faith to grow.
Amen.
For your faith to be exercised. Right? So at some point, faith has to be received. At some point, faith has to be exercised.
Right.
At some point, faith has to be put in action.
Amen.
I forgot to mention once again, Grayson, are you listening this morning? He's going to be baptized this evening after the service, so we're looking forward to that. Callan, are you listening? Yeah, you went first, huh? Hallelujah. What if I told you this morning that this $20 bill was yours? What if I did that? What if I said, Grayson, this $20 bill is yours? I'm waiting. Do you believe it? Don't look at Mom. What if I said to you, Callan, this $20 bill is yours? Well, you guys are all just missing out. Anybody could have come and got this.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But I didn't say who it belonged to.
Right.
So you're like, well, right? Well, the Bible doesn't tell you who it belongs to either.
Right.
It just says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Right.
Ask anything in my name and I shall do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Well, you can take advantage of that or not.
Right.
Anybody could have come up. In fact, I brought two because I was sure somebody was going to do that. And if they didn't, if they did, I wouldn't have one to offer a Callan, which I was sure he was going to come and take this. You're a loss. I said it was yours. Now, whether you believe that or not is determined by whether you take it.
Right.
Oh, well, that's a little different and it's embarrassing and all that. It's embarrassing to believe. When you have no evidence, your mind is embarrassed. It's uncomfortable. It's not uncomfortable down here. You believe God's word. Amen? But the mind, this isn't for the mind. But you've got to get the mind to line up. The mind is hearing these words. No, now, so all the little computers out there are just running away, right? What did he mean by what he said when he said it was mine? When he said I could have it. Oh, he actually called me by name and said I could have it. Right?
Right.
Well, he's called you by name too.
Amen.
You are identified by the message of your day. And you're told by the message of your day that it belongs to you.
Amen.
And you got to believe it.
Right.
Amen.
So, Sister Baker, would you have come up here and got this? Okay, come get it. Come get it. I told her this morning, I said, I'm going to do something, but I don't want you to respond. Hallelujah. That's a little... Anybody want some more money? Or? Well, that's a different church service. They're usually trying to take my money. Hallelujah. You love them?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now we know that John, this is his ministry had climaxed, it had peaked, he'd already introduced the Lamb of God, and down in the soul, there was no doubt. Down in the soul, he was not shook at all. But now he's in prison, and Brother Branham says it this way. He said his eagle eye got filmed over. As that does happen to eagles in the later stage of their life, their eyes will get filmed over, but then there's a process that they go through where that can actually be broken free, that cataract or whatever it is that it forms, and they can have that good eyesight for a short time for the rest of their life. But so John sends his disciples and said, ask him, or should we seek another? And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. Amen. Remember, that's been our subject, things that you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? You know, that's somebody that's this way, and on the other hand, I'm that way, on the other hand, I'm that way. And just whichever way the political winds blow, right? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? He had rough camel skin clothing. Right. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. So if you're looking for that, you're looking in the wrong place. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, more than a prophet. Now, how could he be more than a prophet? He's a prophet, and he's also a messenger with a great message that he's to introduce, prepare the way for the Messiah and to introduce the Messiah. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violence, take it by force. You got to take a hold of it. You got to grab it. Amen. It's promised to you, but you got to grab it. Like that $20 bill that was sitting up here. You got to take it. If I say it's yours, it's yours. But if you don't take it, is it yours? Okay, enough about the $20 bill. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and law prophesied unto John, and if you'll receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We've mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man that's gluttonous, and a wine bibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. You say, well, if I was there, I would have repented. Well, you are there, and are you repenting? Because his works are being done today just like they were then. And he's doing it. I can hear that. I can hear that voice saying, well, in a way and sort of. No, in every way. He's still the same. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Friends, the Lord has done so much amongst us.
Right.
Amen. Amen. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. You can't find heaven in your head. You can't find God in your head. You can't figure out God. Amen. I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's we're laboring against sin. We come to him, we lay our burden down, we accept him as our sacrifice, and we find rest. Then the next step is to take up his yoke upon you and begin to learn of him. Right? And you will learn that he's meek and lowly in heart, and you're going to learn that because you're yoked with him. He's going to lead you and guide you. And you shall find rest unto your souls. So one is the rest from the labor of the burden and the labor against sin. The other is the rest in your soul, the peace that comes by having him as your guide, having him as your comforter, learning his ways, being yoked together with him. Amen. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. He's carrying the load, not us. He is. Right? When we try to get away from him, we realize that we're yoked. Because we feel that pull. Amen? And I thank God for that, don't you? So Jesus had just sent his disciples out to teach and to preach the gospel. And John the Baptist, he was in prison. And he'd sent his disciples to Jesus to ask if he was that one. And the Lord had already declared through John that he was that one. And the Lord confirmed it by descending as a dove upon him at the water's edge. He said, the one whom the dove descends, that's that one, right? And it took place. And Jesus then went forth and he lived out the prophecy concerning himself. And he told John's disciples, go and tell John what you have heard and what you have seen. Friends, that's a pattern that repeats over and over and over again. What have you heard? What have you seen? Right? Part of your overcoming is by the word of your testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Matthew 11, verse 5. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. So Jesus then turns to the multitudes, and he asks them, what were you looking for when you went out into the wilderness? Let me ask you that this morning. Each and every one of us, myself included. What were you looking for when you came to church this morning?
Right.
What were you looking for when you went out into the wilderness? What did you go out there to see? Were you going out to see a carnival? Were you going out to see a magic show? Were you going out to see somebody dressed in fine clothes? Were you going out to see a rogue choir? What is it that you were going? Everybody has an expectation. Everybody has preconceived ideas. What were you going out there to see? right? And then he upbraids them for their unbelief in the word for their day, because what they went out there to see, what took place, is exactly what the word said was going to take place. But it wasn't glamorous. It wasn't, there wasn't trumpets playing. There wasn't a red carpet that was rolled out. It wasn't in a fancy cathedral. It wasn't the Sanhedrin that introduced them. It was a guy in camel skin.
Right?
A guy that lived out in the wilderness. A guy that was, you know, wasn't part of the seminary, that wasn't part of the program, that came from outside of organized religion. They didn't see the prophecy as it unfolded before their very eyes. And the reason they didn't see it is because they did not first believe the word. And this is so critical. You won't see the word fulfilled except you first believe it. Now, I'm not saying that you must have the faith right away to believe it. The faith will come, but you have to accept it first. Right? You have to say, okay, that's God's word. I'm looking for that to be fulfilled. I may not understand it, but it's God's word.
Right.
So they didn't believe the word, so when it was fulfilled, they didn't see it. They heard the very same word that the others had heard. They heard the very same prophecy that the others went out to the others went out to see what John was doing. They had heard the very same prophecy, but they didn't see that prophecy being made manifest because they didn't believe it. They didn't believe this was that one. They had already interpreted the meaning of the word according to their own reasoning, according to their own human ability. And so by that, they refused to receive faith. They couldn't receive faith. In order for God to reveal His Word to us, we must first receive His Word, take it into ourselves, become one with it, don't fight against it,
right.
And it has to pass the door of human reason, and it has to pass the door of human understanding and memory and emotion and imagination. It has to bypass all of that, right? We cannot know God by our human understanding. Therefore, we also cannot know His ways. We cannot know His word. We cannot know His will for our lives with human reasoning. That's why we can't learn it from a seminary. Right? God set things up this way on purpose so that only those that set aside their human reasoning and truly hear from Him will come to know Him. Amen. So Jesus goes on to explain to them how that Sodom and Tyre and Sidon and all these other cities, they made the very same mistake that these people were making right then and there. They missed their day. They missed their message. They missed the fulfillment of it, the manifestation of it. And they made the word of God of none effect by their reasoning with the word. And these cities were destroyed. Because they exalted themselves up into heaven by claiming to hear the word and by claiming to be the living word. But they only received the word with their human reasoning, and therefore they had another vision of reality that they walked in. And they did not walk in the word of the Lord. They had a word that had no life. They had a word that had no quickening power. They had a dead letter. And they perverted the word by interpreting it according to their reasoning, and they did so to their own destruction. You want to know one of the things that makes me real nervous, and if I'm wrong on this, then you just pray for me. But when I get together with a group of people and to have a Bible study, and you go around the circle, what do you think? And what do you think? I don't care what you think, right? There's one meaning, right? And it's not, we're not going to come together and reason it out. Oh, well, it seems like the majority think it's this, so that must be what it is. I thought it was that, but five out of six say it's this, right? To be completely fair, I don't care what I think. Because what I think doesn't matter. What does he say? Let him bring the interpretation. Let him bring the revelation. It'll come through a prophet first. Right? So that'll short circuit the I think.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus warned the people that he was speaking to that they were repeating the very same mistake that these others had made, and they were heading to the same end. So then he turns to the children of God that were there also, and he said in verse 25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you revealed them unto babes. Friends, a child accepts and believes without reasoning, right? When a child says, Mom, I'm hungry. Can I have a popsicle, right? The child isn't wondering, is this the right day? You know, it's only on Tuesdays or Thursdays, or did I miss my opportunity, or did Dad or Mom go to work this week so that there's food again, or does Mom want me to have something? Think of all the questions that you can come up with. Is money still worth something, right? Well, son, we don't have any more popsicles, but we can go to the store and buy it. Well, those thoughts aren't even going through a child's mind. The child has a need. The child makes the request, right? And if Mom says yes, then the child accepts it, and right? If Mom says no, what's next? Come on, friends. Oh, okay, all right, I'll just, no. A child says, why not? Can say, I've been driven crazy with why? 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 Well, that's what children do. Why not? Right? What's the obstacle? Why can't I have it? You've hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you reveal them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek, lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
So you reveal your words to babes, your children, who will listen with spiritual ears and will receive your word without reasoning.
Yes. Amen.
And they are like little children. They can't explain perhaps to others what you say, but they believe it. And they wait on you to reveal it to them as you promised to do. Jesus then says, you cannot know God except by the Son, except by the Word. The Word, the Son, reveals to you God. And you can only know God by the revealing of the Word. So when God reveals His Word to you, He's revealing Himself to you. And the church says, learn of the Word, and then let the Word be what guides you, what you are yoked to. Right? He then tells them, this faith walk is not hard. The Word will not be difficult for you to be led by.
Right.
It will be simple.
Amen.
It will be humble.
Right.
And you will know that it is the Word.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing the word. And your soul will rest as it is led by the word. So are you with me so far? Okay. So every child of God is led by God. We agree on that? He speaks to all of his children and he gives them the knowing of what he has said to them by speaking to each one individually. He reveals it to you. We're all hearing the same thing, perhaps. Right? But he's the one that has to reveal it to you. So, we're not saying it's a private revelation, because we know that's not true. But it will match what he has revealed first to his prophets. So the entire body of a particular age will have the same revelation or the same knowing. Right? Don't let people intimidate you. Don't let the devil tell you that they're, you know, super duper believers and you're way down here and they're up there. And that's just a lie of the devil. Right. If you're his child, he's obligated to his word and he's obligated to reveal it to you. So that body of believers will live out that prophecy for their day just exactly as it is written and is revealed to them. That's why we need to stay in the Word. Right. Stay in the message for this hour. So Jesus explained to us that the kingdom of heaven cannot be known without faith. You can't even know the kingdom except you be born again. And you can't be born again except you have faith. Have faith and be born again. So without faith, he also said you cannot enter into the kingdom without faith. You can't know of the kingdom. You can't know of the ways of the kingdom. You can't even know God. You can't call him the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. But then we are told that faith is of God. Right? So even the faith, it all comes from God. Everything comes from God. So this is what takes it out of our hands and places it firmly in God's hands. And this is where our rest comes, because we're totally dependent upon him. Amen. Totally trusting, right? We cannot please God by fulfilling his word unless we have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the scripture tells us, right? But he's the one that gives us the faith, and faith is revelation. It's revealing. It's making known, and it's simple. So the word that's been prophesied to unfold in our day is the word that declares the change of the body, as we've been looking at. The resurrection, the change of the New Testament saints that sleep in Christ, the meeting in the air. Those are prophecies for our day, right? The manifestation of the sons of God is a prophecy for our day, right? Which all nature groans and travails for. I've heard some say, oh no, that's in the millennium. That's when that'll be fulfilled. Well, what, of course, in the millennium, the sons of God will be manifested sons of God. But this work of redemption has to be proven before we go over to the other side. Otherwise, there's still a question about whether redemption is complete, whether man has been restored, brought back into his rightful position. It will be, friends. But in order to be part of what we call the rapture of the church, we must have faith for the rapture. And the only way that we can have faith is for God to give us that faith. Right? And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So we must hear the preaching of the revealed word.
Right.
And we also know that the rapture is not a single event, as we've looked at over the last few weeks, but it's a process that's going on even as we speak, and that has a beginning and an ending. And with that in mind, let's reread the statement of our messenger that we read earlier. From the message, the rapture, paragraph 65, he says, but to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It is revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Amen. Now, it is a revelation, for the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it is something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that has been revealed to you, like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it was so, or wasn't so. Now faith, that's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon revelation, the whole entire body. Amen. So it's not just some of this, it's all of this. Amen. Friends, that's why I firmly believe in every one of the scriptures. I firmly believe in laying hands on the sick and they'll recover. I believe in praying, joining our faith together. But I also know that there are other prophecies that must be fulfilled. Right? And so no one person can do it all. And we don't want you to get hooked on one person. Amen? Because that one person might not be around when the rapture happens. You've got to believe.
Amen.
Amen. All of these other things are helps and we appreciate it and thank God for it, but it's bringing us up to a place where we only believe. So Brother Brown said, waiting for that revelation. Well, I thought we had the revelation. He says, we're waiting for that revelation. We have the faith for the portion of the rapture that we're living out right now. We have heard the shout. We are being gathered together in Him. The eagles are gathering where the carcass is, which is not a physical place. They're gathered wherever the word is going forth. The fresh kill. The word. We've heard the message for our day. We've said amen to it. We believe it. We agree with it. Jesus Christ has been revealed to us personally through the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're resting in Him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. We have the token. We're putting that token on display. We're feasting on His word. He's supping with us, us with Him. He's taking preeminence in a body. He's quickening that word within us. He's living it out through our lives in this last day. So there is a portion of the rapture that is in process, that is taking place. We are living out what has been revealed to us by faith. Now, some are falling away on this side or that side. And the reason why they're falling away is because they can't explain things in our message without their using their human reasoning. It doesn't agree with their human reasoning. I don't care. It doesn't have to agree with my reasoning. Amen. I take what God said, no matter what I think, no matter what I feel. Amen. They become troubled when a scientific study of the message doesn't appear to agree with what science teaches. As if science is never wrong. Science, a true scientist will admit to you that we're learning. We believe this until some better understanding comes along. Right? Science is looking back, studying, examining what's already happened and trying to see what laws are there. And I'm not being critical of that. Used in the right way, it can be a help. But science isn't the ultimate truth. So Jesus tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. And we know that Noah suffered scoffers in his day. I'll pull over here in a minute. He suffered scoffers in his day. Is that right? Noah couldn't explain how rain's going to fall from the sky. We look back, you know, and we just kind of skim over that and think, you know, oh, well, I believe it because, you know, well, you believe it because you've had experience with rain. You know that it can happen, that it does happen. And you see the rainbow in the sky and all that. But it hadn't rained before. There weren't any clouds in the sky. And Noah couldn't explain it. Noah couldn't explain how pitch that was extracted from living trees would seal out the destruction that was to come. He couldn't explain how two of every species would be carried over in a boat. He couldn't tell them how long they're going to be in the boat, or what the new earth would be like when it was that they would know that it was safe to exit from the boat, or how long the food would last, or whether there would be any food once the door of the ark was open. Noah was told what would take place by a natural mind of reasoning. Excuse me, he wasn't told by a natural mind of reasoning. He was told by the Word of God. And that mind that spoke to Noah and led him in all the preparations is the mind that is so much higher than human reasoning. And it wasn't Noah's job to explain these things. It wasn't Noah's job to understand these things by human reasoning. Come on, friends. It was a scientific age back then. Right? He looked like an absolute fool. It was Noah's job to believe. It was God's job to reveal to Noah what he was to do and how he was to do it. And it was God's job to give life to his word and to bring it to pass. It was God's job to watch over his word. It was Noah's job to walk in his word. But Noah, nor any other man or woman or boy or girl can walk in this word without God. We have to have him. So no doubt the prophecy that Noah was walking in was revealed to him progressively, just as it's revealed to you and I progressively, right? Just as it was to our prophet. And what that means is, as Noah walked with God, God revealed to Noah his plan as it unfolded. And God does the very same thing with you and I. He wants us to be totally dependent on him and totally surrendered. Right. Now, friends, a lot of times we want to know everything so that we can walk off and leave God. Now, that's not our thought. We're not thinking, oh, I want to walk off and leave God. But if I was with somebody on a mountain and they didn't have a light and I had a map and they didn't have a map, or I had a GPS and they didn't have one, this isn't theoretical, I've lived this, that person would be dependent on me, right? Yeah, right? Now, I've had people dependent on me like that walk in front of me. Now, how much sense does that make? Shine the light over here. Shine the light over there. Is this the right way? Well, don't call me crazy, but I'd say, you know, if I know the way, if I've been the way and I have a map and a light, wouldn't it make more sense for you to get behind me?
Right.
So I wonder if we would do that, if God gave us the map and the light and everything ahead of time and said, I'll see you when you get there. I wonder if we'd walk with him. We're required to walk with him this way, because he's a light unto our feet, unto our path, not over the next mountain. He's promised to light each step. But we're yoked with him. Now, if you're yoked with him, you can't be in front of him. So, God wants us to rest in his word. God wants us to know that faith is going to be there as the word unfolds along the way. And no doubt Noah was told first of the destruction that was going to come and why it was going to come. And then he was made aware of the escape plan that God had for those that were righteous, right? Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, right? He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse, right? We learn portions of it, and then God unveils more and more to us, right? No man can be righteous, but God said the righteous, he'd made plans for the righteous to escape. So how is it that Noah and his family could escape? By faith. By faith, Abel. By faith, Moses. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. Noah believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm going to ask the trustees to turn the temperature down about 10 degrees so that we're awake. This is your day. This is your message. Well, I don't expect God to reveal anything to me. He won't. This is boring. Go back to sleep then. But if you're here to hear the word, say, God, speak to me. Make this real. I want to hear the word, Lord. That's what I came for. Amen. We know that we can't justify ourselves or through our own works be righteous before God. What makes us righteous in the sight of God is that we receive His word in a believing heart. And then we live by that word. And that's counted unto us for righteousness. It was Noah's faith in God. It was Noah's faith in the word that was made known to him that made him righteous in the sight of God. Noah believed God. The difference between Noah and some of these other people, all of the other people that were outside the ark, was what? It was which side of the door they were on. And the side that Noah was on was because he believed. So Noah believed God, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So it's not our own self-righteousness that God honors, but God honors faith. And faith is of God. And faith is God unveiling himself and making himself known, making himself real. And God has respect unto his word, and he's not a respecter of persons, but he does respect his word. And when we receive his word in a believing heart and an accepting heart, well, then God's obligated, friends. Somebody say obligated. Obligated. He's obligated to reveal it to us in due season and to bring his word to pass in our lives. There's no struggle in this. Oh, well, I hope I don't miss it. I hope I don't miss out on this revelation or that revelation. I hope I get the faith. Just walk with God. Amen. Trust in him. Put all of your trust in him. Be as a child. Take him at his word. Believe God. Amen. So we accept his word as being true. And then we surrender ourselves fully to him. And we choose to walk wherever he leads. And to make decisions along the way that cause us to follow after the word. Because we're yoked with him. We don't go places that he doesn't go. Amen. And we'll never have all the answers or even many of the answers that will satisfy or convince the reasoning mind. But we don't need it. We have to make a choice. Which God am I going to listen to? Which God am I going to accept? Which God am I going to follow after? Which God am I going to surrender to? Am I going to bow to the God of reason? Or am I going to bow to the God of the Word? Where will my trust be placed this morning? Am I going to trust in science and reason and logic and explanations? Or am I going to say yes to the Word of God? Whether I understand it or not. Is my trust in the Word, no matter what I can see? Is my trust in the Word by faith? Will I trust that the faith that I need for a body change will be there when I need it? Or am I fearful? Well, in for a penny, in for a pound. If we've decided to follow Him, let's follow Him all the way. If we decided to trust Him, let's trust Him all the way. If we decided to surrender to Him, let's surrender all the way. So with that, Noah had He put his entire trust in the Lord. He put his entire trust in his unfailing words of promise. And friends, he didn't have a written Bible like you and I. He had the word that was lived out through Enoch before him, which was a sign that was given to a generation, living epistles. And no doubt, he had the word of the Lord that was expressed to and was lived out through the bride type of Adam and the seventh from Adam. Just as the foolish virgin is carried over in the tribulation, she will have the word of the bride type of Christ that was lived out in the second Adam, Christ, because she is the seventh age from the second Adam, just as Enoch was the seventh from Adam, right? So when Noah saw Enoch living out the word, now we know that they didn't live at the same time. We know that Enoch went to be with the Lord before Noah was born, right? We know that. But there was a record of his walk. There was a record of what was lived out. And there was testimony of what was lived out. And so in that sense, when Noah saw Enoch living out the word and saw him walk off with God, when he saw what took place in his day, Noah got to praying and he began to get desperate for himself and for his family. And when the rapture type took place in his day, well, then Noah sought the Lord, right? Enoch went up, now Noah's seeking the Lord. Noah saw how that everything began falling apart when Enoch was caught up. Gross darkness and sin had filled the land. And the Lord spoke to Noah, who's a type of the foolish virgin, right? The Lord spoke to Noah and instructed him in the way of escape that would be provided for him and for his family. God did not reveal or make known to Noah the details from the very first moment that he spoke to Noah. God spoke to Noah in response to Noah's cry, and he told him he had an escape plan for him. And then it was up to Noah to decide whether or not to believe God and to trust in him. And as Noah walked in the prophecy, God revealed to Noah what to do and how to do it, as he needed to know. And God never at any time left it up to Noah to reason out how to escape and how to live, how to survive. Noah had to make the choice whether to follow reason or to trust in the Word. He didn't know ahead of time that he would gather two of every species into the ark. He learned that along the way. He didn't know right away how they would be kept. He didn't know how they'd fit.
Right.
He didn't know where they would eat, where they would sleep, how he would get them in there, how they would get along, where their waste would go, how long they'd be in there.
Yeah.
He didn't know how long the flood would last. All he knew was what God had revealed to him in due season.
Right.
Does that sound familiar to us this morning? Friends, it's so important that we catch this, because so is it with the rapture of the church. There's parts of that that's still withheld from us. But it won't be. It will be revealed to us in due season as we continue to walk with Him. So this Enoch escape, and this Enoch walk that you and I are walking in, it's revealed to us just before it unfolds. The bride right now is in the rapture cycle, as we've been looking at for several services now. I know part of why you're not with me is because we haven't all been together. But we've been preaching this, building up to this. There are parts of the rapture that must be lived out before there can be the great meeting in the air and the climax of the rapture. There's prophecies that have been spoke that haven't been fulfilled yet. Now, they can all be fulfilled in a day. Right? Just like that. Just as there were dozens that were fulfilled in the last 72 hours of Jesus' ministry here on the earth. Right? Prophecies concerning him. But they all must be fulfilled. And they all will be fulfilled. But it's a walk of faith every step of the way. Amen. The Lord has descended from heaven in a theophanic coming with a shout. He has descended to be our guide and to reveal the story of the prophecy to us as it unfolds in our day. To have preeminence in a body. The Word has come into a body. The fullness of the Word has come into a body to take preeminence, to have the preeminence in a body. Right? Now, that doesn't mean any one of us is going to have the fullness of the Word. Of course not. But the fullness of the Word is in a many-membered body. Right? And he will have the preeminence before the body change. How close are we? How close are we? So we read this morning where Job declared, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." In closing, stand. Thank you. Job didn't have this revelation at the beginning of his walk with God. He did not have the revelation of the kinsman redeemer. He went through all of what he went through, and he didn't have this revelation, right? Job didn't have a written Bible to read. The Bible he was reading was written in the lives of those that lived prior to him, and they were passed down to him through oral history. And those stories were accepted by Job, but they weren't quickened to him. Job walked in the portion of the Word for his day, and he progressed to the place in his walk where the Lord unveiled to him the kinsman redeemer and the rapture of the Old Testament saints, and showed him his part in that. Job knew. He saw the kinsman redeemer. He was shown the kinsman redeemer. And he clearly saw that he was there in that day, because he said, "I will see him yet in my flesh, though the skin worms eat my skin." So he's acknowledging that he's going to go into the grave. But he's also acknowledging that he's going to be there on that day. And that he's going to see him with his own eyes. In his own body. Hallelujah. So Job walked in the portion of the Word for his day, and he progressed to the place in his walk where the Lord unveiled to him the kinsman redeemer and the rapture of the Old Testament saints. And we know that Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter of faith. And none of those that are identified as the heroes of the faith had the faith that you and I have today. You believe that?
Amen.
Absolutely. They did not have the faith, first of all, that was once delivered to the saints. They were Old Testament believers, not New Testament believers. Right? What they had was a portion of faith for the portion of the Word that was allotted for their day. And it was, they believed it, and it was counted unto them as righteousness. And these are examples for you and I this morning, because the portion that they lived out in their day, each one of them lived out a portion. Each one of those portions, all of that is being lived out in our day. All of it. Not just a portion. All of it is being lived out. Because they were prophesying again of an end time bride and an end time bridegroom. These prophecies that were lived out in human flesh. Amen. What a time. What a time to be living. What a season to be living. What a day to be living in. And by faith, friends, we will make the same declaration of a New Testament rapture and a New Testament body change.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
We read by faith Moses, by faith Noah, by faith Jephthah, by faith David, by faith over and over, right? That same thing is being fulfilled in our day. By faith.
Amen.
By faith, a body change.
Amen.
By faith, a meeting in the air.
Amen.
By faith, the escape from corruption which is in this world through lust. By faith, the escape from the grip of death. The original faith in your flesh. The original faith in your flesh saying, I will see God.
Amen.
If Job could say, yet in my flesh I will see God, that same revelation will be in your flesh.
Amen.
Behold, my Redeemer lives. I will see God.
Amen.
Though my body may go into the grave, yet in my flesh I will see God. Is that a revelation to us? If we're believing it with everything that's in us, keep believing it with everything that's in you. And it will become a revelation. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're just so thankful to see what we can see in this hour. To know what we know, not head knowledge, but Lord, knowing it personally. We're eyewitnesses this morning. The things that your word has declared, not only have you revealed it to us in our hearts, but Lord, you've manifested it, so much of it in our lives. It's been lived out. There's no way we could doubt. There's no way we could disbelieve. This word has taken on flesh, and it has become written epistles that's read of all men. Father, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us would just be shook to our core, Lord, when we recognize our day, our time, that what's taking place, and Lord, just what a tremendous time it is to be alive, what a tremendous time it is to be on the scene and be a part of the unfolding of your word. The great crescendo, the great climax, the great finishing off, the great restoration, the great fullness of redemption that's taking place to where even death itself will have to step aside. Where everything, death is conquered. Of course, we know you conquered death, hell, and the grave. You conquered death 2,000 years ago, but Paul tells us that death was not put underneath your feet. Death was defeated, but it's put underneath the body in the end time. And so, Lord, we're coming to that time, that moment. We're coming to the time when the church has come to maturity, to marriageable age. We've come to the time when there's a union that's formed between the bride and the bridegroom. We come to the time when the love secrets are being shared and expressed, where things that have been hidden are being revealed for a purpose, to bring faith for a rapture, for a change of the body, for the finishing of redemption. Lord, may we not lose our enthusiasm. May we not lose the joy unspeakable and full of glory. May we not, Lord, allow our our vision to be turned to the left or the right. Of course, we can acknowledge what's taking place around us. We're not deceived by it. We're not caught up in it. And recognizing that these are signposts and these are markers along the way, but Lord, we don't want to look into that darkness and stare into that darkness, but we want to look into the light that's shining so brightly. Never has it been so bright. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we don't have to be afraid. We're so thankful that we don't need to give an explanation that satisfies the human intellect. But we can give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. We all have a testimony. Every one of us. We'll all leave with a testimony. We'll all overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So Lord, we can tell others what you're doing for us. We can tell others what you've done for us. We can tell others how wonderful you are. We can talk about our relationship with you, our walk with you, our trust in you. We can tell them that it's the one that's doing these things for us and in us desires to do these things for others as well. But they'll have to come the very same way that we do, to only believe, to take God at His word, to accept His word, to receive it. Father, if we're looking for vindication, there's never been a time that there's been more vindication. If someone's saying, I need more evidence, there's never been more evidence. So Lord, we know it isn't based on human evidence or human reasoning, though there's plenty of it to point to. We know that it's always based on faith. We know that as your word describes, as your word declares, though one raised from the dead, yet they won't believe. Lord, as we looked at last time, some said, just come down off the cross and we'll believe you. They didn't believe. And if you'd have come down off the cross, they still wouldn't have believed. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. If we believe, then we will see. But if we demand to see, we will never believe. Father, I just pray that your Spirit would minister to each and every heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, when we leave the building, it's with a spring in our step and our shoulders held high, recognizing we're just living in a tremendous hour, a tremendous time, at the very closing hours of your great plan. Lord, we just want to tell you one more time how much we love you, how much we appreciate you, Lord, how thankful we are, Lord, that your word is true. And Lord, that you're not going to keep us, you are keeping us by the word of your power, by the power of your word. Father, may each one be strengthened, may each one be encouraged, Lord, as we go into our homes. Father, we thank you for speaking to us, each and every one. Now we commit all of this into your lovely hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You love him? Amen.